Facebook. And I think we're going to go live also with the music. I think we'll do that. And we'll do that round about now. And that's the intro. I tell you, I wanted to put something on that was had a little bit of energy, because I'm a little bit energyless at the moment. I got to admit, I really am. I'm feeling it. It's the end of the year. I know it's been a tough year for everybody. I really do know that and understand that. It's not just me, that's for sure. And I get that. My wife, we're all tired. We've all been working on the farm today. And but it's beautiful to be alive in the country, I tell you. I want to recommend country living to everybody out there. But anyway, kia ora tātou e hoa mā, no mai haramai, ngā mihi, whakatau mai rā, and a warm welcome to everybody. And look, I tell you what, these guys are absolutely, they are restricting me big time on the Facebook outreach here. And I need your help, guys. I need you guys to hit the share button, and otherwise it's just, this message is just not going to get out. It's just not going to get out. But anyway, I know you guys know that. I know you're going to work with me to get that message out there. And we need it. I need your help. Otherwise, this is just going to become a, well, something that you'd probably call futile. I think that's probably a good way to say it. Futile. Yes, futile. Anyway, I want to say that I'm going live. I'm going live simultaneously. I've got to get my tongue around that on Kiwi Radio right now. So welcome to the Kiwi Radio listeners. Hope you're doing well out there. It's 7:06 p.m. and it is December the 22nd, 2022. All the twos have lined up, so there you go. Hopefully that's a good thing. And it doesn't look like I'm recording here, so I'm going to go off air there. And there you go. There we go. I think we're doing okay here. Right, I've got a few things I want to share with you tonight, but some of the things I'm going to share with you are pretty mind-blowing. And thanks to Sister Dr. Rima E. Libo, I've got her giving me information that I can share with you guys to let you know what our Prime Minister and what our government is up to, along with the other governments of the world as well. It's not just our guys, even though our guys are evil, no doubt about it. But yeah, that's the way it is. Thank you, Sasha. God bless you too. I really, really appreciate the encouragement. I just sent a message to my friend. I was going to do a Bible study tonight, and I'm really shattered just from my week. And we've been busy filming. We had the court case last week as well, as you guys know. And I'm going to be talking about that tonight a little bit with you. I want you to understand what it is that they're trying to do to me at the moment. I want you to kind of get inside of it so you know and understand, and so that you guys can keep an eye on me from afar. You may need to turn yourself up, Sister Catherine. I'm sorry. Is anyone having a hard time hearing me? Everything's full on my side. I'm just checking the loopback. Loopback looks remarkably good for a change. Signal is good. Check, check, check. Everything's up 100%. So I'm hoping, and I hope you can fix it up, but it's certainly not down my end, on my end for a change. That's for sure. I'm glad to be able to say that. Now, I want to talk to you about Dr. Robert Malone. Now, I shared a really lovely photo of him and I talking today. I'm just going to bring that up over here, put that in over there. And I'm just going to go to camera 4. And there he is. And there I am. I'll put myself over here. Now, what I did is I did a shot of us having this interview this morning. And I got to say, what a total gentleman he is. What a lovely man. He's got a nice face. And turns out, listen to this, how's this? Turns out he's into farming and orchards and horticulture and all that. So I found out a lot about him personally today, and he's going to help me with some things as well. And just a very, very, very lovely man. I just want to say it was an honor to speak with him. He would like to work with me on some other things as well, which is incredible and also a great honor. And I want to thank Dr. Carlton Brown, New Zealand Dr. Carlton Brown, who was just, man, I tell you what, he's in another league of his own as well, Dr. Brown. And Dr. Brown connected me with Dr. Malone, and it was a real privilege to talk to him. But interestingly enough, I want to share some observations he shared with me about New Zealand. And I think they're well worth taking notice of, because this man here, he's the epitome of the antithesis of what the government and the government media claim, that everybody that disagrees with COVID-19 narratives of whatever description, anyone who disagrees with them is a nut job, conspiracy theorist, unstable, unhygienic, unfamiliar with hygiene practices, superhero costume wearing, costumes that are baggy in the wrong places, in all the wrong places. You all know that by now. And this man is, you know, another example of someone that was at the very, very, very top of vaccinology, bioethical work as well. And, you know, just an incredible, credible man, and he is against all of it. He's against all of it. Now, I used to think that he was the inventor of the mRNA. Now, he was a part of a group of scientists that came up with the concept, and they patented it. Now, he hasn't been involved with that for about 15 years, and he certainly had no involvement with the COVID-19 injection, Comirnaty injection by Pfizer or any one of them. And he's a big opponent to it. I just wanted to clear that up, because I had someone mention that today when I mentioned it on Telegram, someone saying, oh, didn't he invent it? No, he didn't. He didn't invent the mRNA vaccine, so-called, that isn't, that we are all seeing being rolled out. He didn't have anything to do with it. So I just really wanted to set the record straight with that, because, you know, he is a man that has really, really put himself out there. You know, he's probably a target. He's probably a target just like I am. In fact, he is a target just like I am. He knows that he's watched. He's track and traced. He's all of that sort of thing, right? He's totally listened by probably NSA, FBI, CIA, probably all of the alphabet agencies in the United States listen to him, but no different to me here, I'm listened to by the New Zealand Security Intelligence Services, and I don't say that as a badge of honour. I don't think that's an honour at all. It shows you how corrupt the system is, that someone like me, I've been in the military, the police, I've helped the, and for a little while served with the Volunteer Fire Brigade Service. I was a naval cadet when I was a kid, road safety advocate for kids, youth advocate, all these different things. So really, if they find someone like me who's a patriot and cares for fellow New Zealanders and all people of the world, really, a threat and someone to watch, then they really need to take a good look at themselves. But anyway, back to Dr. Robert Malone. He had these observations about Jacinda Ardern. He knew a lot about her. In fact, he knows a lot about New Zealand. New Zealand is very topical around all of the freedom leaders, you know, especially those that are in his circle, know about New Zealand, watch New Zealand, and they can't believe New Zealand. He said to me, how is it that New Zealand has voted this woman into power, meaning Ardern? He said, how can that happen, Billy? You know, you are a peace-loving, friendly people, thinkers, island nation, agricultural people, thinkers, problem solvers, and yet we have so-called elected someone like this. Now, don't forget, that's exactly what happened in 2017. Winston Peters, he made that decision to bring this global operative into power, into the Prime Minister's role. Now, the interesting thing that Dr. Malone was saying, he said, look, you know, the difference between a psychopath and a sociopath is a sociopath learns to not have empathy, right? That's something that it becomes part of them. But a psychopath is someone who's born that way. And he said that has to be a description, a characterization that suits Jacinda Ardern. Now, this is a highly intelligent, data-driven, facts-only man. He will not, I love him, because he won't go near, rabbit holes, and he won't go anywhere near conspiracy theory topics. Now, I really respect that, because, in fact, what was really awesome is that he did say to me, look, you know, he's got colleagues that want to go down rabbit holes and all that sort of thing. And he goes, but I don't do that. I keep calm and I stay on logical information. I didn't say to him, actually, that's exactly what I've been saying for the last almost 3 years now. But he echoed the sentiments that I share with you guys. But he had New Zealand figured out, guys. It's going to be an intriguing interview with this fantastic man. He's been involved in everything. He's looked at it from the military angle, the DARPA angle, CDC. He knows about all of it, all right? And we've got him in this documentary, River of Lies, a New Zealand Scamdemic, and it's such a wonderful privilege to have him on. We've still got some incredible people yet to go, and I'm trying to get it done. It seems like every time we say, right, that's it, we're going to finish filming, then there's a couple of other people or someone else that wants to speak that comes along saying, well, hey, you know, here am I, I'd like to be a part of your New Zealand documentary. I've just had another guy like that, a doctor in the United States, an inventor of an amazing product that can help people heal, right? I'm not going to say too much right now because I can't, but and I'm really super excited. This is someone else who's a very high level person, and and we've still got Rashid Buttar. I've got to interview him, my mate. And what can I say? I'm very humbled, but you know, I want to make this point. This documentary is going to be as good and the best thing that I can do. I promise you that. I very, 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 very well promise you that. All right, guys, we are being heavily restricted tonight. I've got 61 viewers when I should have a heck of a lot more than that. And I find it really funny, actually. Calvin Alp said last week, you know, Billy's audience is shrinking. Has he not got a brain to understand that the reason it's shrinking is because the message is more potent than it ever has been that I'm sharing with you guys? You know, I was giving out big information and important information in 2020, and I've tried to do that ever since. But it's kind of like I feel like I've matured in a I don't know what you'd call it, probably a content gathering way or a quality of content way. I don't know. I've always tried to do my best anyway, but something has changed. This documentary has opened up another path. And yes, those people need to be worried because there is some unbelievable amounts of information that's going to come out that's going to really expose this for what it's always has been from day one. And interesting, actually, going back to Robert Malone again, just quickly, is that he said that there is now a truth, listen to this, truth and reconciliation. A truth and reconciliation authority that's been set up for people that have committed COVID crimes, that's what they are, to basically shield themselves from responsibility, accountability. Now, Dr. Malone was explaining this in great detail to me, and he said, look, this authority's been set up because people want absolution. They're wanting, to say, oh, well, we did all this because we thought it was the best thing to do. And he's saying that's not good enough. He's got the same view that I have, and it isn't good enough. Yep, okay, you may have done the best thing that you thought was right to do, but you still killed a lot of people. They've got to be accountable for that. Now, if you look at, I won't go there. I was going to talk about my charges, but no. But if you look at the decisions that Jacinda Ardern has made, Chris Hipkins, probably Andrew Little, Ayesha Vorel, you've got Ashley Bloomfield, even though he's a bureaucrat, the orders that he issued under the Director General's authority have killed people. Let's make no mistake about this, and no bones about it. There you go, JH just said it. These things that these people ordered and decided to do have harmed and killed New Zealanders in the thousands, and that is no exaggeration. The misinformation that they've put out and information that they've kept from public scrutiny has cost the lives of many thousands of New Zealanders, and they cannot walk away from it. They can't. They just can't. We can't allow that in any way. And the interesting thing about this truth and reconciliation is that authority that's been set up in the United States, it's meant to be for people like, I don't know, maybe the director of the CDC or Anthony Fauci to come in and confess and just say, oh, sorry, we didn't mean to do that, and see you later. But it shouldn't be like that. The harm has been too big. If they can jail a 97-year-old German woman for Nazi crimes that she committed when she was 18 as a secretary of a camp, of a concentration camp in Poland, German woman. She was a secretary to the commandant. She processed information. Well, they got her to court last week in Germany, and they've convicted her for war crimes because she oversaw the deaths of at least 10,500 people in there. And, she's 97. She's old. But they've jailed her for 2 years because she committed the crime as an 18-year-old, she's still considered a juvenile, or it was a juvenile offence. And that, by the time the war ended, she was still only 19, right? So, but they jailed her. And I can't see a way back for Ardern, for any of them. And the interview that I did with Malone today, Dr. Malone, Professor Malone, was one of those areas where he took me into some areas that I hadn't been to before in this documentary. I mean, we've had so many interviews now, and it's very, very interesting. It truly is interesting to note. And he was saying, he's talking about evidences of bioethical crime, and he explains it in such a way that even I got it, right? So you'll get it easily. And this is really important to understand because there are ethics involved in all of this, and all of the norms and ethical norms and accepted practices have been rolled over big time. And there's no excuse for that. Michael Baker, Susie Wiles, Nikki Turner, Helen Patousis-Harris, these doctors that have been involved in this, they need to be held accountable. And, you know, Dr. Malone was telling me today, there are 17,000 scientists right now that are in a, in fact, I forgot to get the website off him, that are involved in, 17,000 scientists are involved, doctors and scientists, medical doctors, medical scientists, involved in a council that has been created to deal to all of this in court systems. And so he has some very good advice to do about that. Now that's a perfect lead-in for this. All right, so here you have it. Again, in New Zealand, MedSafe grants provisional approval for Pfizer Omicron vaccine. Oh, just digest that while I take a gulp. All right. So we have the Omicron wave. Let us not forget, every media channel, including the ones in New Zealand, when Omicron came out, said, oh, you know, we don't have to worry about this. It's actually not that lethal. It may be more infectious, but it's even less harmful than the other waves of unidentified flying viruses. And here you have it. MedSafe grants provisional approval for Pfizer Omicron. Look at that. Now, when MedSafe says provisional, based on what? Safety? Safety? Okay, we'll have a look at that in a second. So it's the approval of Pfizer's Omicron BA1 and BA.4/5 booster vaccines, so-called. So they've already proven, remember, by the government's own information, their narrative that if you got the jab, you wouldn't get sick, quietly turned into you won't get as sick, but maintaining the fact that you'll never be infectious. Remember that? Help your family, help the community, your country. Well, they've been exposed as lies. We all know this. They know it. It's out there. Everybody accepts that. Listen to this. The Medicine Safety Authority status of applications webpage shows provisional approval is granted to two bivalent Omicron vaccines on Wednesday the 21st and is valid until November the 3rd, 2023. Wow. The approved indication use was as a booster dose in people over the age of 12. And that's the crime. Who have previously received at least their primary injection course against COVID-19. Provisional approval does not mean that a decision has been made to use this as part of the... Flip, they're liars, aren't they? They are just liars. Provisional approval does not mean that a decision has been made to use this as part of the COVID-19 injection program, as MedSafe approval is just the first step in the process, a Ministry of Health spokesperson has said. You know, this is just double, triple speak, isn't it? And they're also going to have a technical advisory group, which will now provide advice to the ministry to form a decision on whether to use the vaccines in New Zealand. Oh, man. See, next minute you're going to see Truth and Reconciliation Council being set up. You mark my words. If approval is granted, bivalent vaccines are expected to be available in the first quarter of 2023. So this is just rubbish. This is just rubbish. Absolutely rubbish. They're going to use it. We know that. And boy, you know, I've seen some incredible graphs. Incredible graphs, guys. Got Dr. Guy Hatchard. He's got some great graphs as well. We're going to be sharing with you in the documentary. But this is unbelievable. And they're still asking for your money at stuff. Wow. Excuse me. Ugh, got my window open. Okay, so really, what you have to ask yourself really is the following: is do kids need to get this injection? Now, again, Professor Malone confirmed what we all know now: children, young people, anybody under the age of 65, primarily, or even 70, has, if you don't have comorbidity, if you're reasonably fit and healthy, and you have got a 99.97 or 0.8% chance of survival, 99.98, right? if you're a child, that's about 99.99. Now, this is an incredible thing to say, because you've got more chance, or I've got more chance of walking outside my door, of dying by a meteorite landing on my head than a child has of dying from COVID. You are going to get people that are going to die from the seasonal flu, from pneumonia, of all age groups. You're going to have it. Unfortunately, that's the blinking horrible tragedy of this world as it is without the Lord in it. And you've got a situation where, you know, anybody can die from the seasonal flu, right? Anyone, especially if you've got a respiratory issue as well. Now, the big thing about this is the kids 5 years and over in New Zealand can get this. Why the heck would you do that when you have a 99.99 chance of survival upon contact with this? In fact, this disease is so bad, the Omicron, you need to go get a test to know if you've got it. Yep, asymptomatic. It's just so bad, you just may not even know you've got it. It's just so bad, you're probably going to get over it within 2 to 5 days. That's about the reality of it. But one thing that we do know, and the New Zealand Ministry of Health has admitted this, is that upon receiving the jab, you could still get it, this disease, so-called. You can still get it. It's not going to stop you from, it's not a barrier. I guess that's the good way of putting it. It's not a barrier of protection. Kia ora, Nails. Hey, Lisa. And so why would you do this? Why would you take your child to go and do this? Because we were, and I'm not going to talk about it now in great detail, but I was talking with Dr. Malone today about risk versus benefit of this whole scenario. And I'm sorry, there's no justification for this. So back to this provisional approval. It's just rubbish. It's just triple speak. It's dishonest. They've approved this. It's going to be used, and you're going to have to make up your mind about whether you're going to go and roll your sleeves up and go and get it, because, you know, there are issues, and one of those issues, or some of those issues, are represented in this. This is the New Zealand government's COVID-19 vaccine adverse events reporting system for COVID-19. Adverse events following immunisation with COVID-19 vaccines safety report number 46, dated the 30th of November 2022. I'm going to touch on it just quickly. I've covered this before. So there's been 11,888,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine in New Zealand. Out of that number, almost 65,000 New Zealanders have been harmed. Okay, 65,000. Out of that number, 3,688 have had serious, very, very, very serious complications. Okay, but you cannot get a greater complication than 184 deaths of adults and young people. And now what you have here in the adverse events of special interest, you have 67 babies that have died in the wombs of their mother soon after receiving the jab. Now, this is not conspiracy language. This is the New Zealand government's information here. medsafe.govt.nz/COVID-19/safety-report-46.asp. So what you have here is, amongst all these, look at this, 1,000 people with myocarditis, heart attacks, thrombosis, liver problems, pancreatitis, strokes, Bowel's palsy, what my poor daughter has suffered, Guillain-Barré syndrome, aka Miller-Fisher syndrome, and it's happening. So how is it that the New Zealand government and other governments like around the world can say this is still a safe option when you have a 99.97% to 98% of survival, if you're an old bugger like me, still reasonably fit though? How can they justify this? How can they justify it by their own records, their own data? This is not a good thing. It's not a good thing at all. And you need to hit the share button on this to get this message out, please do that. If you have got whānau members, family members, that are considering taking this, you need to get this information out there, because our media, you know, I said to Mark Stevens from stuff.com.nz, I said to him, look, if you don't do anything else, please just print the CALM report so mothers, pregnant women, mothers-to-be can see this information and have a warning signal and do more due diligence. And you know what? Nothing. And so along with the doctors, the politicians, the scientists that are corrupt, I want the media accountable, because they have been such an instrument of fear, of propaganda, of misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, withholding information, that they need to be held accountable. I think you understand where I'm coming from with that. Now, I'm going to leave that particular one there. There's something I really want to talk to you about tonight, big time. Big time. There's more that I could cover with this, but before I go there, I wanted to show you the stupidity of people in the leadership of the Green Party. It's an inequality crisis, not a cost of living one, the Green Party. Let's read a bit of this, shall we? All right, they're heading into the holidays celebrating the government adopting a moratorium on seabed mining, new momentum behind violence prevention and concerted efforts on climate change. There's that word that's gonna cause so much harm. The climate change minister, James Shaw, said he started the year saying every minister needs to be a climate change minister. I can confidently say, at the end of the year that pretty much every minister is a climate change minister, because you've got 50 ministers, which is three-fifths of the executive, who have specific named responsibility. But the co-leaders acknowledge COVID-19 exacerbated the inequalities within Aotearoa, especially if you're unjabbed, you lose all your rights, don't you? So why aren't they talking about that? We'll come to that in a second. And that a lot of attention in 2023 needs to be given to those struggling to feed and house their families because they lost their jobs through vaccine mandates that cannot be justified now. Because why? Janine Smore, Vice President, European Pfizer Executive, said Pfizer never tested for transmission and infection protection and transmission. They never did it. So that does away with your vaccine mandate. So there's a lot of people that are not going to be having roast dinners for Christmas this year and are struggling to feed and have their kids in houses. But where's the mention of that, Green Party? How is carbon trading going to feed our kids? Marama Davidson says it's very clear it's an inequality crisis, not a cost of living crisis. What a load of rubbish. What a load. Is she so thick and stupid that she doesn't see what the real issues are? She said that New Zealand had tackled its issues around livable incomes, healthcare, mental health, substance addiction. Are they bizarre? Are they on another? Are they seeing another reality? So let us extrapolate an interpretation of what she's saying here. She said that had New Zealand tackled its issues around livable incomes, healthcare, mental health care, substance addiction, education, housing, and affordability, the country wouldn't have seen spikes in youth crimes it did this year. Well, what a load of rubbish. It's because our police have a woke commander who will not give them the means to deal with it. They're worried about people that protest peacefully. Then these poor kids that have been manipulated and brainwashed to go and do ram raids. And what else is dragging this along? Is it the meth problem maybe? Is it the fact that kids don't have hope because they're seeing everything crumble around their feet? Not just kids from lower socioeconomic homes, from everywhere. 5,600 kids in hospital in the last year or so going to emergency rooms. Why is that, you wonder? I'm glad you asked. because they have lockdown anxiety. The very blinking thing I protested against in 2021 that the judge of my case didn't care anything about, didn't care at all. And it breaks my heart because I thought he looked like a decent man. What didn't help, she says, was further dehumanizing solutions that are short-term and designed to excite people's fears, coming from the very party that's telling us we're all going to die in 5 years if we don't submit to their green communism. Kids have got no hope because of people like this. I find it amazing that they can speak like that. And there the article is left. And you know what? They throw out this term, it's an equality crisis, not a living cost of living crisis. Well, that might be very good for them because they're on hundreds of thousands of dollars of salary and they get their per diems and they get their government travel costs and all that. They don't pay for petrol to go to work. Oh, no. Picked up by chauffeurs at the airport, fly in. Yep, I saw how it was for Jamie Lee Ross. No wonder he didn't want to leave that behind. But she says it's an equality crisis and not a cost of living crisis. How detached can you be? And at the same time, they're driving farmers, more farmers, to suicide. Farmers are the most suicidal bunch of people in New Zealand, the poor buggers. And now they've got people like this in their ivory towers going to bring in these compliance rules that's going to drive them out of business, cause them to lose their farms, their jobs, their families. And what are they going to do? What do you think they're going to do, Marama? What do you think they're going to do, James Shaw? What do you think? What would you do if you lost the family farm, the whānau farm, that may be 100 years in your whānau, in your family? You talk about mokopuna, Marama. What about their mokopuna? No. Brutal. Brutal. They just don't care. Brutal. They really, really don't. Yep, JH just said, City Mission and Salvation Army are handing out record amounts of food parcels. And you know what? Those food parcels are not just going to Mangere or Cannons Creek and places like that. No, no, no. They are going to people in housing and Remmers. They're going to Green Lane, on the shore, Takapuna. They're going everywhere where you would never have imagined people from those areas would need them because people cannot survive. Now, you talk about inequality. So if a white middle-class person goes in and gets a food parcel and he's standing there to a Māori or Pacific Islander or Indian person, or a Chinese person wanting food, and say the Māori person or the Pacific Island brother or sister is from Mangere or Papatoi where I grew up, and this guy here is from Green Lane or Remmers or Takapuna or somewhere, and they're both getting food parcels, I don't think there's any inequality in all that. They're both in a pickle, aren't they? They're both having hard times. And maybe that is what is driving the problem with crime. Maybe the lack of hope that kids have. 5,600 Kiwis tried to commit suicide over the age of 10 to 17. In a year, that's 100 a week. But inequality, that's how detached these people are. And boy, do you think that Christopher Luxon is going to be anything different? Isn't he the guy that said, you know what, if you don't get your jab, you don't get your benefit? Do you remember that one? I think you do understand what I'm saying here. But listen to this. Now, I got to say, I don't like this little weasel of a man. I should be praying for him. I don't really like David Seymour because he's a liar. He's a liar, but he got this right. He got this right. David Seymour questions Christopher Luxon's loyalty to conservatism ahead of election year, and he's bang on in this. David, you got it right, mate. You did. Listen to this. In fact, There's a good one here. He said, the ACT Party is promising it will put a stop to what its leader says is a pattern of past national governments campaigning from the right and governing from the left. Now, if you don't understand what that means, let me explain to you what he's saying here and what he's identified, which is absolutely bang on. Can't fault him at all. Is that he is saying that Christopher Luxon is going to appear to be campaigning on conservative issues and concerns, right? And he's going to push hard. He's going to keep away from things to do with carbon trading, World Economic Forum, climate change. He's going to keep away as much as he can, even though he says he's a Christian, around abortion. He'll keep away from some of the issues around the wokeism. He will. He'll keep away from all of that to make out that he's on the conservative right. But you don't have to dig very far to come up with all his statements, past statements and current, even recent ones, to know that he's completely woke and left. Now, interesting thing was that Jamie Lee did teach me, Jamie Lee Ross, about the political spectrum, and especially about National, is that they are meant to be a centre-right party on the right side of the spectrum. Conservatism, you know, National thoughts and feelings around policies, one could almost say Christian principles, almost. But what David Seymour has identified and what Jamie Lee was saying is that actually what National really is while being on the right side, they're far left on the right side of the spectrum. So they are pushed up hard against leftist policies that they agree with, but they're still on that side of the fence. They're in the blue team. But it doesn't matter what side you're on, red or blue, because behind the scenes, the devil is behind the scenes controlling both sides of the house. And what Christopher Luxon is doing, he's playing, I'm the big businessman, I know how to fix the economics of this problem that we're dealing with, I know how to do it, we need to do this, we need to do that. But he is right. David Seymour is smart enough to have identified that, but he needs to cough up what he's been dodgy about as well. But we're talking about Chris Luxon here. And Chris Luxon has come out and he's trying to maintain that he can speak to farmers, speak to rights and freedoms, bloody, bloody, blah. But mark my words, as David Seymour has said, if he wins next year, which is looking like he's going to, he will push hard against the left side of the right spectrum. He's going to push hard against it. If he wins, he's going to come out and he's going to use conservatism to push lefty policies. Does that make sense? And there is a way to do it, and I've been talking about it for a long, long time now. If you've been sensitive to what I've been saying, that it's, the pendulum has swung to the left, it's going to swing hard to the right, and then when you get that, it may swing to the right, but you're going to have the totalitarian characteristics of the left operating on the right side, and this time with a stronger corporate face, and that's your fascism. You need to do some homework on those terminologies, because I've had to. So David Seymour, I think you're absolutely right this time, and if you're thinking about voting National, you think something's going to change? Well, you may want to think that through. All right, needed to take a gulp of that. Okay, now what I really want to spend some time in is this topic here. Now, this here is a website that my dear friend Dr. Rima E. Libo, who I interviewed yesterday and did a fantastic interview with her, the day before yesterday, sorry. I was on her show yesterday with Vinny. And she's got this Prevent Genocide 2030 site. And I want to talk about that, because there is information there you need to understand. You need to understand, because the international health regulations are what is going to provide the basis for the International Pandemic Treaty, Pandemic Preparedness Treaty that the WHO and the UN want to bring in, which will rob your sovereignty. It's connected also with the Bali G20 leaders meeting the other week in Indonesia. All right, before I do that, I just want to encourage you, please don't forget to give some money to stuff.com so that they can continue to write misinformation, disinformation, malinformation, and slander pieces for the government. Can you give them some money? Don't be silly. I'm not saying give them money. But look at this. Your flat white costs at least $5. The article you read with it was free. Can you give stuffcon.com some money? No. But please, if you can help me even pay my blinking my broadcasting bill, that would be a great help. If you would like to support me, if you value the work that I do, either as a researcher, as a pastor, online pastor, if you want to support me with my legal fees, and I'm going to be talking about those soon, because you know I want you to know what they're trying to do to me. This is the way that you can support the work that I do. This is not the documentary account. I want to make perfectly clear this is not the documentary account. If you want to support the documentary, go to riveroflies.co.nz, riveroflies.co.nz. You can support and donate there. Please do that and subscribe to the website, to the blog letters. I've got one coming out tomorrow. And please make sure that you go there and support the documentary, because we're not going to finish it unless we get some help. And I'll make that clear to you why very shortly. But if you'd like to donate and help me in my role, this is my job. This is the only job I've got apart from farm work. And so this is the way that you can help me to live. Thank you very much, and I do appreciate it. And would like to encourage you, if you if I could get, I've got, 37,000 people that follow me. If I could get everybody to put in $1 a month, 50 cents a month, what have you, we could pay everything and get everything done. All right, so let's go into this report. Okay, oh, that's not it. Let's go back there, and let's go back to this report. Okay, so this is the website here, and I want you to go and check it out for yourself. This is Prevent Genocide 2030, and I want you to go into here, and I want you to go into the actions area. Okay, actions, act now. And when you do, you're going to see some different buttons there. You're going to see link to stop IHR amendments, right? Canada Action Group, Africa Action Group. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to work on a New Zealand Action Group. So if you'd like to be a part of that, please email me at billy@ibc.net.nz. We are going to look at this. This is the stop the IHR amendments and stop secret IHR amendments, all right? Well, now, one way that we can do that is to exit the WHO. Now, what I want to explain, and I want to try and do this as well as I can here. I'm going to make that a bit smaller so we can get the whole page in. There we go. No, a little bit more. Oh, not that much. Let's go back that way. Let's go there, and now we've got a problem with sizing that way. All right, guys, just bear with me a second. Let's see if we can do that, and that's looking a bit better. Okay, all right, we'll do it that way. Right, so what we have here is amendments. I'm going to have to make that smaller again. Amendments to the international health regulations, which remove your rights and freedoms with full respect for the dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of persons. Right now, in this article, and I want to explain this to you, this here, international health regulations, is what governs what the WHO can do to a certain extent. Okay, and what they've done is they're changing a whole bunch of things here. They are literally wanting to bring in these international health regulations through the WHO, which means if something comes up like the Pandemic Preparedness Treaty, then you really do need to understand what it means, because it is incredible. Now I'm going to show you this document here in its fullness, and here we go, because you need to understand what this is about, because this is very, very creepy. All right, here we go. So this is from the WHO website as well, and this talks about the IHR amendments formatted and annotated. All right, and this is where it all comes from, all the information that you got, all that, all those links. So, and this is meant to be for next year, okay? So it talks about what they're planning to do. And so subtraction, strike through, proposal to deleting an existing text. So what they're doing, here you go, is that they are changing all of the international regulatory restrictions on the WHO. They're changing all of them to get rid of them so that they can do all these things that they're wanting to do. Okay, article by article, compilation of proposed amendments to the International Health Regulations 2005 submitted by states parties in the context of decision. So all the member states for the purpose of international health regulations. Okay, new health products to include therapeutics, vaccines, medical devices, personal protective equipment, diagnostics, assistive products, cell and gene-based therapies, and their components, materials, or parts. Cell, and then again, health products to include cell and gene-based therapies. Health technologies and know-how includes organized set or combination of knowledge, skills, health, products, procedures, databases. So this is your surveillance and systems. You see what they're doing here. All right. This is wicked, man. This is wicked. Standing recommendation means advice issued by the WHO for specific. So where it says means non-binding, gone. Can you see that? Now, this is the work that Dr. Rema E. Libo and her international committee does. This is where we should have people that are medical and legal people from New Zealand involved with this, because it's happening right now. So they're already changing that. Here we go. The purpose and scope of these regulations are to prevent, protect against, prepare, control, and provide a public health response to the international spread of diseases, to including through health systems readiness, resilience, and resilience in ways that are commensurate with and restricted to strikeout public health risks, all risks with a potential to impact public health. And don't forget, they redefine what a risk is. Do you get it? Can you see that? Article 3, principles. Now taking out this group of wordings here, the implementation of these regulations shall be get rid of with full respect for the dignity, human rights, and fundamental freedoms of persons. Do you understand this? I'm not condescending to you guys. Are you getting it? Because you need to know this stuff. And this is so important. Yep. And then it just goes on and on and on. When implementing these regulations, parties and WHO should exercise precautions, in particular when dealing with unknown pathogens. You reckon? And then it just goes on about all these new additions into the various articles. Wow. The state shall implement these regulations on the basis of what? Equity, sustainable development goals, solidarity, as well as and in accordance with their common but differentiated responsibilities and respective level of development of the state parties. Exchange of information between state parties or between state parties and WHO pursuant to the implementation of these regulations shall be exclusively for peaceful purposes. No, not for the individual. No, nothing peaceful about it. So this is surveillance, this is data sharing. You get that, of course. Each state party shall designate or establish an entity with the role of national IHR, International Health Regulations focal point, and the authorities within its respective jurisdiction for the implementation of health measures under these regulations, who shall provide technical assistance and collaborate with state parties in capacity building, which we know is just another wake term for they're going to set it up so that they can bring in their controls. And surveillance, look at this. Each state party shall develop, strengthen, and maintain as soon as possible, but no later than 5 years from the entry into force of these regulations. Now, that's a really important term. The force, the entry of these regulations by force. This is not voluntary. This is fully binding. And if our health authorities in New Zealand sign up to this, New Zealand's sovereignty is changed forever. Do you understand this? This may be boring to you, but if you don't get this stuff, we're in trouble. It's pure tyranny, as Lisa said, under the guise of health and medical care. This is really serious stuff. And it blows my mind that other people aren't talking about this in the so-called alternative media. Why? Why aren't there, why isn't VFF putting big warning signs out like this? No, because I think they're controlled. That's why. There you go, I said it. I do. I really believe that. Really, truly do. And after talking to Professor Malone today, I'm even more convinced of it, because he's dealing with people just like that. So you will see all these things, and it just goes, you know, the director, and see from the director, who shall refer to the issue to the World Health Assembly. So this is all about the Director General. Who's that? Tedros Ghebreyesus Adhanom, who's a terrorist. He is a communist. WHO shall collect information regarding events through its surveillance activities and assess on the basis of risk assessment criteria regularly updated and agreed with state parties. This is wicked stuff, man. It just, anyway, it goes on. It just goes on and on and on. This is wicked, people. Consultation talks about this. It's all about that. It's all about the WHO. 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 Who funds the WHO? Bill Gates. China. Public health emergency. Listen to this. The Director General shall determine on the basis of the information received, in particular from the state party within whose territory an event is occurring, whether an event constitutes a public health emergency of international concern in accordance with the criteria and the procedure set out in these international health regulations. This is so important, family. This is so, so important. Look at this. If the Director General considers, based on an assessment under these regulations, that a potential or actual public health emergency of international concern is occurring, the Director General shall notify all state parties and seek to consult with the state party and basically take over. So where this is leading to is that the WHO will come in and they will literally annex a country. Look at it. It just goes on and on, guys. And it's all bad. And so where this is going, and I'm going to leave it there. I'll put the link up for this in the chat. So where this is going is that Bali decree, now a couple of weeks old now, where you had the G20 leaders come in and say that they're supporting the concept of these amendments in the IHR for amendment in 2023, so that they can then bring in, if they get broad consensus and support, then bring in the International Global Pandemic Preparedness Treaty. And that will not be voluntary. Once you enter into it, you are fully engaged and bound to it. Pretty wicked, eh, guys? Pretty wicked. This is unbelievable stuff, honestly, family. And that is why we need to talk about this stuff. We've got to know about it, because I want you guys to become educators as well. And I want you to go and... So that's called the International IHR Amendment. So let me go. I'm going to put the link right here, and I'm going to put it in the thread. I'm doing it right now, and it's right there. And there it is for you guys. Thank you, Sister Laurel. I really appreciate that. Because you know what? I am eating, drinking, and breathing all of this information. And in my poor brain, I'm actually really mentally exhausted, to be honest. I really am. I've had it. I've got to take a break for a couple of days coming up. Because I'm shot. The physical workout there is good for me, because I sweat. I get to... get all that stuff out. And so it's really important. So there's the link in there, and please get in there and spread it. Please spread that link. Get it out there. Let people know what's going on. Explain it to them. Explain it to people and say that this is the stuff that they're doing under the radar, along with a whole bunch of other things that we've uncovered in the process of doing this documentary. And it's all leading to that culmination point. But you know what? There's hope, people. There's hope. You know, obviously my faith in Jesus is what keeps me going. And I know what the end game is on this, all of this. I know the Bible tells me. But from the worldly point of view at the same time, people are waking up. People are waking up all around the world. We've got 600,000 doses of the current injection from Pfizer that expire in 2 weeks' time. That's something to be celebrated. To be perfectly honest, that's something to be celebrated. And we can celebrate it. Let's do that. And a year from now, it is quite possible that the crimes of all these people will be fully out there. And this kia ora, Sister Shirley, this documentary that we're doing is a big part of telling the New Zealand story. It's not just about one aspect of it. It's about all of it. We're connecting the chain for you in this documentary so that the entire world can really understand what's going on here. Now, before I finish, I've got 5 minutes left, guys. I do want to talk to you about what's going on with me. So I've got to go back to, we're going to go back to trial by the looks. We've got to go back on the 30th of March for our sentencing. Before then, there's a pre-sentencing report that needs to be completed. I have now been assigned a probation officer. Can you believe that? I now have an assigned probation officer. I can't believe I'm saying this. I have a probation officer. And so I've got to write up a report about, we've got to get a report written about who and what I am, what sort of danger I pose to society in New Zealand. I don't pose any danger. I might pose a danger to the people that have been committing a crime here, but I love people. I want to help people. I want to help gang members on meth. I want to help prostitutes stop prostituting. I want to help people not hurt each other. That's what I want to do. I want to grow good food for people. I want us to be free. That's all. If you want to be a communist, I will fight for your right to be a communist. Don't force your communism on me, just like I won't force my faith in Jesus Christ and the fact that he's coming on you. I'm not going to do that. And so I've got to do this what is called a pre-sentencing report. And that's going to cost a few thousand dollars to go back and do that. But I am facing these charges for the Electoral Enrolment Commission have laid against me with the police. They are saying that I've committed electoral fraud, which I wouldn't even know how to do that. And when the truth comes out, I'm praying that the jury is going to recognize that. I've got plenty of people that were trying to help me with my declarations. That's one thing. They said I overspent by $1,800. And then I said, well, no. I did the report again, submitted, and I said, no, I'm 2,000 under. They said they were helping me. They helped me with the reports. Then they said I violated by the Electoral Act by doing more reports than you're allowed to do. So that's electoral fraud. Then I've had a very wealthy man who funded Voices for Freedom, funded Claire Dix, paid her $8,000 a month, paid all the setup costs, using some of the money from NZPP that was left in the bank account, and who gave me some money to live on, only a little bit, to help me in my whānau level. I wasn't on 220, 40,000 Jamie Lee Ross was on. I lost all my ambassador contracts, and I was living from hand to mouth from donations. And or that. And so now they're trying to say that I was dishonest by not declaring $15,000. And you know what? I wouldn't be dishonest with 15 cents, with $15 million, $15 trillion. It doesn't matter. I'm not interested in lying in front of him, in front of God, and having that on my conscience. Not interested in that. Money, forget it. Spit on it. It's not like that. I used to earn way more than that in my time. And so, anyway, the cost of defending that case is going to be in the tens of thousands of dollars. And I don't know whether what happens if you win, do you get that back? I don't know what that is. And if they fine me, you can get a $200,000 fine. So what I wanted to share with you is that I really believe that the government is trying to destroy me. And I feel sorry for Vinny. I'll tell you why. Because I reckon if Vinny had just protested on that day by himself, he would not be in the trouble that he's in today. They would have let him go by now. And Brother Chris just said this, agreed Billy, you're old school like I am. A man's handshake and his word is better than any contract, absolutely. And that's why it hurt me so much when I had people try and claim I didn't pay my bills and didn't pay musicians. I never not paid a musician in my life who I had agreed to pay, never in my life. Before God, I uttered that. And I could not believe that. I'm still mates with musicians that have played for me for 20 years and 15 years. I've interviewed a couple of them for the documentary. And they'll say they were never, ever not paid by me. But I tell you what, rather than walk away from a debt, I'd pay one off. Because I could not ever, me, myself, the way that I was brought up, sounds like Chris was, I could not, you know, for me, my personal ethos is I would not bankrupt myself to dissolve myself from responsibility to a debt. I could never do that myself. I would rather enter into terms with something, with somebody, and pay it off, if you know, and just do it like that, even if it took me a period of time to do it. That's how I was brought up. And just as Chris said, my koro taught me that if you shake your hand to it, it's done. It's in concrete, and no contract will ever override a man's handshake whose word is his bond. But anyway, so I think the government is well, I know the government is out to punish me for all these things I've done since 2020, March 2020. I believe they're out to try and mentally exhaust me in a way that could lead me down a slippery path. But my rock that I stand on is the Lord Jesus. That's my rock. How can you sink when your foundation is on a rock? They may tire me out and disappoint me and hurt my feelings, but they're not going to break me like that. I'm not going to walk outside and jump off the bridge or hang myself or anything like that. I'm not going to do that. But they're putting my family and I, my whānau and I, through it, aren't they? And my wife has been amazing. She really, really has, man. She gets unhappy with it. She gets unhappy with me at times to have to go through it because she's human. But it's been tough. So I just wanted to share this because I'm going to need your help. I can't, you know, a few of you on the thread tonight know me, know my living situation, been to my home, and you'll know that I live a humble life here, you know, and we love it. We love it that way. And we want to go more into a humble life, off-grid lifestyle, we do. But I'm going to need your help to deal with this because I'm selling everything I have. I've got my beautiful electric guitars. I'm selling. I've got to sell them. If you would like a beautiful electric guitar, a Fender Stratocaster, please let me know because I've got no use for them anymore, but I need the funds. So if you'd like to buy a brand new Fender Stratocaster and a worn out but beautiful sounding secondhand one, please let me know. And so I'm going to need your help with that. I might do some. I don't know, maybe another fundraising gig as well. If you wonder what that is, by the way, that's a suction cup, because Chinese treatment suck cup, you know, when they put on you, because my back is in severe distress at the moment through my slip disc. But I want to share that with you because, not to moan, not to you know, to be a martyr. That's not my point here. I want you to know what the government is doing to me. I want you to be clear in that in your own minds what they are doing to me and my whānau as well. And I think that's important. So do please keep my family and I and Vinny as well in your mighty care and prayers for us, please. Your mighty prayers. That'd be much appreciated. Tēnā koe, Albert. Thank you, Stoney. I appreciate that. So I'm going to leave it at that for now, whānau. If you would like your free books, I've got some wonderful books I can give you, Christian books as well. Please email me on billy@ibc.net.nz. Please email me, billy@ibc.net.nz, for your devotional materials. If you'd like a brand new King James Bible for a small donation, it's yours. I can put it into a courier bag and send that to you. Would love to do that. And tomorrow night, a very, very special Bible study tomorrow night, probably around about 8 o'clock. I'm going to start a bit earlier tomorrow night. And it's going to be an acknowledgement of the Lord, of course, but also about the wine of Babylon. You need to see this. If you are wondering as a Christian what the beast is and what the Babylon system are, then please, this is the way you're going to learn about it. I covered it with my Bible students a couple of weeks ago, and I'm going to do it in public tomorrow night. It's fascinating. 8 o'clock on these means here to learn about something that's really important. And once you understand it, everything makes sense. Robert Malone said something that took my breath away today, and he was talking about the beast system without knowing about it, and he was pointing it out. You'll see it in the documentary, but it blew me out that he was talking about it because he's onto it. Not 100% about that biblically, but he's onto it, and he's onto the theme of it, shall I say, put it that way. But tomorrow night will be a beautiful Bible study and lecture, like I do, and we'll go through it together. And boy, am I looking forward to the Sabbath rest tomorrow night. All right, family, I'm going to. Oh, my email, yes, I will too. And so thank you, everybody, for your time tonight. Please keep the peace in your spirit. Love to you all. We keep you in our prayers too. And God willing, I will see you tomorrow night for Sabbath Bible study. Meanwhile, while there's time, please seek the Lord while he can be found. Love those that despitefully use you and persecute you. I know it's difficult to do at times, but we should be praying for our Dune, all those ministers, because they're going to be judged like we all are going to be. And unless we repent and give our lives to the Lord, you know, we will be accountable for those things that we do. I'm glad that I hand my baggage, my problems, my sins to him that has paid the price for them. So please don't let that wonderful sacrifice that he made for us so long ago go to waste. He's coming soon. There is an incredible deception to stand through that's coming, and we need to get out of Babylon, and we can talk about that tomorrow night. Good night, everybody. Pō mārie.